Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging in there. It's always our delight when you go into the second portion of the broadcast with us, and that's the reason we encourage you and invite you to stay in past the news break so that we can continue our dialogue and discussion. We're interviewing Don Redmond today. Don has been a permanent fixture in our city for so many years, if I can say that, Brother Don. I've had the privilege of knowing him for over 40 years, and I know him to be one that meets the qualifications biblically to run for office and to hold position in our city in the leadership role. He's running for District 3 in the school board, Duval County School Board. By the way, let me give you the information. We'll touch on it again at the close of the broadcast. You can go to Don's website. That is Vote for Don Redmond. That's V-O-T-E, voteforDonRedmond.com, voteforDonRedmond.com. And Don, I invite people, our listeners, to go to your website, see who you are, see what you're doing, respond to you, contribute $1,000 to $5,000 or something, whatever they can do. And that realm to help with the race, I would think that it would be a blessing to our listeners. But we were talking about it just before the break as far as the needs, and we think on that need. I've seen a lot of people, especially those caught up and involved in the political apparatus of the school system, the educational system, from Washington down, where there's some kind of a mindset that we've got to grasp and hold on to just the brick and the mortar, just the public school classroom, regardless of whether it's a failing school or a passing school. Don, what about the voucher system? What about the other opportunities that parents should be able to have to place their child in? Tell us your position on those other options that parents should have.
Well, I'm a supporter of school choice. I think the money should follow the child. Our charter school, they should follow them to if they want to choose to go to a charter school or even a private school. I think the money should go with the child. We spend more money per child in our public schools than what it would cost to send that child to private schools.
That's right.
And there's no reason why we couldn't, if we're really interested in the education of that child and the best surroundings for that child, we should put the money with the child and keep it there. Of course, the school board and the ones I talk to when I go to these meetings don't believe that. They don't. They want all the money there in the public schools, and that's why we need accountability. We need accountability of where that money is going, what we do have in our school system. We do have the best equipment in all of our schools now. We have computers for every child. We have everything a child would need to learn in our public schools, which a lot of your private schools and even charter schools don't have. Because they haven't been supplied with this merchandise and these products from the state.
That touches on a point that I have serious interest in, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redmond. Don is candidate for District 3 School Board for Duval County. Don, when we say school choice and the money should follow the student, I'm in full agreement there. One of the things that I think we need to have worked out in the future and that I think that school board members need to advocate for. And that is, if a parent wants to send that child to a private Christian school, there ought not to be strings attached where there's some essence of the law, the rules, the regulations that prevent that money from falling that child wherever that parent wants that child to be educated. I happen to be an advocate of Christian education, and I think you are in full understanding of that. But I have found in the years gone by, most of these school systems where they say the money follows the child and the money can be on a school choice basis, they say all but Christian education. And there's some within the major secular system of the public school system today that feel that somehow, some way that would be wrong for that money to follow the child. And I'm getting to a trickle-down point. we have left God out, we've left the Bible out, we've left prayer out. As a result of that, we have renegades so often in the classroom setting that causes the teachers not to want to stay, and therefore we find a continuing undermining of the foundation and the fundamental problem with that. And if you say we've got 100 teachers short in Duval County, what does the future hold if we continue on the trajectory that we're on now?
It's not going to get any better unless we do make some changes. And, you know, as a Christian, I feel the same way you do. I want the children to get a morally sound education. I mean, in some of the schools that I have seen some things like giving out condoms in school, mm-hmm. Teaching safe sex, mm-hmm. homosexuality being a normal lifestyle. These are things that I don't want my grandchildren to be taught.
And that's being taught right here in Duval County, Don, and I know you're
aware. That's being taught right here in Duval County. I have sat in adult structured with the teachers, principals, where somebody is telling us that they're coming into the schools, giving away these things. And this is the state health department that are teaching these things and giving out the condoms.
Well, it's under the sponsorship of the state health department. The state health department, under that authority that they have in that realm, they're bringing in LGBTQ advocates. They're bringing in Planned Parenthood advocates, and supposedly under the guise of it being authoritative because it came from the state health department, in our classrooms.
And they're teaching that it is a normal lifestyle.
Yes.
That it is not in our classrooms, in our science classes, that people, they're teaching that this is normal.
Don, I think it, and this is not trying to put you on the spot, but I think that our listeners need to know a definitive position. When you're elected school board member, will you do everything God gives you wisdom to do to eradicate and eliminate that in our classroom?
I definitely will.
Absolutely.
I definitely will. When I'm elected, I will take my strong, godly stand, as I have in the past, in elected positions and in volunteer positions. I volunteer for a lot of things, and people that know me know where I stand, so they know where I'm coming from. And I don't change. I had reporters ask me when we were fighting the HRO legislation in City Hall, well, have you changed your mind, Don? I said, no, God's word hasn't changed, and I haven't changed. It won't change, neither will I.
You can add a footnote to that, and I don't have the authority to change God's word.
That's right. Yeah, and, it's very cut and dry with me. I have a real serious concern with what is being taught in our school system.
Amen.
And what is being allowed to come into our school system. And I mean, socialism. We're teaching kids to be socialists.
Yes.
We're not teaching them to be self supporting, self
governing.
Self-governed. I mean, they teaching them that the government is going to supply this for them, the government is going to supply that for them. And it's no wonder that we have these young people following Sanders around. They're taught this in the public school system. And then they go on to college and our liberal teachers at our universities back it up, you know. With
In fact, our professors in our universities, Don, it's based on a Pew Research poll, and I believe a George Barner research team also, that 97% of the professors in the colleges and universities, the public colleges and universities, 97% are what I call loose likes, lost liberals, that are there for the primary purpose of brainwashing our kids and destroying their future of any recognition of the constitutionality of our nation and undermining what we would call the values that we hold as Christians. I call it the faith, the family, and the future values that we ought to be looking at. Don, let's switch gears for just a moment. There's a news article that I'm looking at. Was Dateline February the 10th. Title of the article says, "We are outraged. Florida Republicans express anger over Jacksonville attack on Trump supporters registering voters." And I'll read you a blurb or two. You're familiar with this, but I want our listeners to have an understanding of where we're going and what we're talking about on this, Don. This article says, "Jacksonville, Duval County Republican Chairman Dean Black got a little choked up Monday addressing the media. He and members of the local and state GOP gathered at a party headquarters to discuss an attack on some of their volunteers Sunday at Walmart in the Sandalwood area. We are outraged, Black said. We should have no fear of physical harm or injury, and worse, to express political beliefs in America. Dean is saying we shouldn't be fearful when we go out in the public in representation of a particular party and for our political beliefs. And further, the article says, this is not what we are. This is un-American, Black said during a scheduled news conference where he was flanked by party members, including Jacksonville's Mayor Lenny Curry. We're thankful that no one was injured. No one was killed, Black said. We're sick and tired of our volunteers here in Jacksonville and across America having to be afraid because of what they choose to wear or because of their shirt they put on that day or because they went to register voters or because they want to support the candidate of their choice. Gregory William Loyal, L-O-E-L, Tim, 27, remained in Duval County Jail Monday for reporting driving his van into the tent at Walmart parking lot that housed Trump supporters registering people to vote. He faces multiple charges, including two counts of aggravated assault on a person 65 years of age or older, one count of criminal mischief, and driving with a suspended license. Let's be clear. This was a partisan political attack. Do not make any excuses for that, Dean Black said. Mayor Curry agreed. Quote, nowhere in our country, nowhere in our city, should anyone fear their physical health because of their political views and political activities, regardless of their party affiliation, he said. But be clear, this attack, this attempt, because people were gathered, voters, to support of the President of the United States, and the line has been drawn, and we're not going to tolerate it, Dean Black said. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply succinctly summarize, and then talk with Don about that. This is as a result of a 27-year-old young man that evidently hates Donald Trump, hates anyone that has a MAGA hat on, a Trump hat, hates anyone that's under a tent registering people to vote. And as a result of that, there was what I call attempted murder by vehicle used to be just race. Can you imagine sitting at a tent at a table with people gathered around registering to vote? And someone drive through the tent like that. And yet the news media, very early on, said, we just don't know that this was really a political problem, that it was motivated by politics. I don't know of anybody, if you're half blind and dumb, that wouldn't see the handwriting on the wall and know that's what it was. Don, what do you draw from that? What do you see as a condition of America and the hearts of Americans because of our political position, i.e., those of us that are Christians, those of us that are conservatives? Should we be cowarded and closeted and fearful because of that? What should we do? What is your position?
Well, we need to stand strong. That's what we need to do. But yes, this is with Trump. This is our media pushes. You know, they say that we conservatives, we Christians, are the hateful ones, that we are angry at. But I see the anger coming from the other side. This particular case here where the guy ran into the tent. I mean, I had a good friend that was in that tent, Jerry Woodham, that she was in there with and told the elderly lady to get out of the way. He's coming through here. Or the lady might have got run over.
Yes.
So, you know, this is sad. It's a sad situation. But it happens on a regular basis. I know when I was fighting against the LGBT wanting special privileges, I had my tires slashed on my car, all four tires. I've been called names. I've been threatened.
Joined the club.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is something that the media bills by Satan stating that we are the angry ones. The anger comes from the other side, whether it be the LGBT crowd, whether it be the Trump haters, whether it be the people that support abortion. If you don't go along with what they want, they are angry. And I had a customer that I've known for years and cut his hair for years. He said, well, if you're going to support Trump, I'm not coming back. And I said,
don't let the door hit you.
I'm not changing because of your feelings. And Things like that. It's just there are a lot of angry people out there.
Yes. In fact, the very ones that say that we're intolerant are the ones that are intolerant of us that take the stand on faith and family and the future of America and what we're doing.
That's exactly right.
And that's the problem.
Racism is the same way. The ones that call us racist usually are the biggest racists of all. I mean, I don't feel like I'm better than anybody.
Party, look at what they're doing, and you understand that terminology.
Yeah.
Declension, that is the place that a person goes to when they don't have intellectual capability of discussing the issues that are at hand. And they just simply default to the term racism or misogyny.
Name-calling. They have
absolutely
a label for everything.
Absolutely. But, Don, there's one other issue, several other issues, but one other the thought that comes to mind. There's a bill that is in Tallahassee, House Bill 1079, introduced by a former school board member, Jason Fisher, is now a representative in Tallahassee. Jason has introduced a bill, and the bill would go back to electing a school board, and that was a one-time case, electing a school board superintendent rather than being appointed by I call it in the smoke-filled rooms with the power broker's influence. We have a caller on the line. Go over with your question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I have to tell you this at this time with Mr. Donna Redman. That trend, my country, has been destroyed by a leader who came up with the same democratic socialism. That's what he came up with. And he was very friendly with Cuba and the Castros, and eventually Jamaicans. They woke up and realized, and he was voted out, so he didn't get to carry the country over, just like what happened to Venezuela, else that country would be worse than Venezuela now. It is the same trend, democratic socialism, and the hating of, or that, not just hating, but bullying the other side. If you're not in that the socialist rank, among the socialists, if you're not in on that side, the other side is completely bullied. People have to hide. They can't make it be known that they are on the conservative side. The conservatives are pushed in, hiding completely, have to wear your colors, or and not just hatred neither, but violence, and it's very serious. I think these people are for lawlessness and breakdown of indiscipline, and they are heading, they don't mind the revolution. So I think this is we need to really tighten up the reins on the trend. The trend is a dangerous trend. Towards the police, it's exactly the same thing that is going on here. Hatred of the police, target them, and people have to stay out of that career. People who would go in have to stay because they become like suicidal. Put on the uniform.
Absolutely. Well, what you're saying is that you see from a personal experience what has happened in your country, what is happening in America, and so you can speak from personal experience and warning our listeners of the potentiality. And I am so thankful for your standing, for your input, and for your dialogue and discussion on that issue today. Thank you so much for that, and God bless you today.
And it starts at a very early age, indoctrinating is children as to what they should believe.
And that's what we see taking place. Absolutely.
Right.
We need to be warned with that voice from experience, ladies and gentlemen, as to what we see taking place. This is the reason. It goes back to my rationale of what I said in my monologue in the introduction today. This is the reason we need to elect men that are capable, men that have the ability to do what God's called them to do in these leadership offices that we vote them in to carry out that responsibility. Don, the movement to elect a school board superintendent rather than being appointed, what is your position on that, good, bad, and indifferent? What do you think the future holds? I personally think the bill will pass. I don't know. I've not checked the temperature and the heartbeat of the general populace in DeVol County on that, but I think that we have a better straight line of accountability if we have someone elected rather than appointed. My personal insight on it, as you know, I've been very, very close to the situation, and I've seen, what was the last three or the last four school superintendents that we have written big old checks to cancel their contract and move them on and do the same thing again. So talk to our listeners about your position on that.
Well, I have switched back and forth on my opinion on whether or not to have an elected superintendent or an appointed superintendent, a hired superintendent is what we have now, hired by the school board. And if we could get good conservative school board members that we could trust to hire the right person, I think that would work fine. But like I said before, we only have one right now mm-hmm. on the school board that I would trust to make the right decision in hiring a superintendent. And I have been on the school as chairman of the school advisory committee in the Southside area through four different superintendents. So I've seen them come and go.
Yes.
And like Dr. Youngblood was saying, we have not done a good job of selecting, or the school board has not. Mm-hmm. They hire a corporation, a company, to go all over the United States to see what they can find and bring in somebody to Jacksonville that knows nothing about Jacksonville, doesn't understand the issues that we have in Jacksonville. So we end up with somebody that's on a learning curve to start when they get here. Whereas if we had an elected superintendent, you would end up with a local person.
We have
some well-qualified people in Jacksonville, Duval County, and maybe even the surrounding counties, that would be suitable and do a good job as a superintendent that we could elect to the office. I have some concern about the political drawback from it, because I know how some politicians are.
But say one thing and do another one elected.
That's exactly right.
That's the unfortunate thing.
You know, if citizens really do a good job of analyzing the ones that might run for the position.
Yes. And I'm of the opinion, Don, as we're talking about that issue, that when a person running for a political office, as in your seat for the school board or city council or for the state representative or on a national level or the president's level, and that's what I have admired in President Trump, he's doing what he said he would do.
Yeah.
Now, when he said he'd drain the swamp, he didn't realize it's a sewer. I understand mm-hmm. that. But he's taken the stand on doing so. And I believe that differentiates between the person of integrity for the office and a person who's just looking for a political position.
Yeah.
If you're willing to face the bullets, as I call it, to do what you've said you're going to do, and the people voted you for that position and your election took place.
And look at your history. You know, when you're electing somebody, I mean, I have a background in politics. I have a background with the school system. So, you know, which my opponents that are running against me do not have these qualifications. I'm the only one that's ever held a political office that is running for the school board. So, you know, look at these things. Look at how they, you know, whether they've ever taken a stand on anything. Look at their character and what they do in life now and where they, you know, where they serve. Are they really servants?
Yeah.
Are they really concerned with serving the people, serving the children, serving our communities?
Different between a servant's heart and one that's wanting to climb the ladder of priority and prestige. Don,
right.
We've got just a few minutes left, and yet there's so many other things that I'd like for us to talk about. Let's quickly talk about a couple of them. President Trump, as you know, has directed Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education with the U.S. Department of Education, to mandate that all schools across America implement a policy that not only says it's possible, but absolutely encourages and allows prayer in the classroom. What is your position on that? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? What is your position on that?
Oh, I think it'd be a great thing. I mean, you know, as it is right now, there's no morality involved in school. I mean, we have young people growing up into adulthood that may never go to church, may never open a Bible, may never hear where morality really comes from. They might know that something's against the law, but they don't know
why.
There is a moral law as well, and they killing somebody is just another law they're breaking.
Yes.
So, you know, if without prayer, without Bible, I mean, Bible should be taught in our schools as a history.
In fact,
it is the history of our country.
That's one of the things that I am delighted and prayerfully it will take place in the state here in the state of Florida, where there's a bill now that will require Bible to be taught on an elective basis in every grade level in
right.
the schools. There's one thing, Don, that I don't know if our listeners are aware of it or not, but just recently our governor was responsible for saying the Common Core is canceled for the state of Florida. Speak to that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, that's a good thing that it is canceled, yes.
Yes.
I have listened to teachers. I've listened to them complain about Common Core. They had a problem with it. The students had a problem with it.
Well, most
the
teachers
had
couldn't
a
even understand
with it.
Common Core
they
themselves.
Couldn't.
How are they going to teach
yeah.
it?
Yeah. They're going to get back to doing regular math.
Yes.
So, I think it's about time. It should have happened a long time
yes.
ago.
The Common
should
Core
never...
could be called voodoo education.
Right. Yeah. It's, and trying to, you know, it's wrong.
Yes. Let's talk about one other thing. We've got about a couple of minutes left. But, Don, there's an issue that's just taken place in our city where a mother had her 6-year-old daughter sent to a mental health facility. In fact, she was you'd call an incorrigible, if I can use that term, as far as her behavior, 6 years old. And because there was a problem with her behavior, police came. She was one person says she was handcuffed and put in the back seat of the car, summarily taken off, Baker acted, injected with psychotropic drugs without the mother's knowledge, without the mother's consent, and it was being done at the behest of the educational system in Duval County. We've got about a minute and a half. Speak to that issue.
Well, that something like that should never happen. You should never do anything in treating a child, trying to do anything to a child without the parent being there, without the parent's consent, that's totally wrong.
The school could have suspended the child, expelled the child, but I don't think, ladies and gentlemen, that the school system has the authority to take your child, my child, or a child in the public school system and have them summarily arrested, put in the back seat of a patrol car, hauled off, and Baker acted and injected with a psychotropic drug without the mother's permission or the parent's knowledge of it whatsoever. Ladies
exactly
and gentlemen,
right.
We've been talking with Don Redmond. Don Redmond is the candidate running for School Board District 3. You can reach Don at Vote for Don Redmond. That's VOTE. VoteForDonRedmond.com. VoteForDonRedmond.com. Go to his website, look him up, see what you can do. Pray for him, if nothing else, and ask God to give him wisdom as he runs for office, and pray that God will use him in the educational system in Duval County. Thank you so much for joining us today in this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.